We turn now to our Vents Day segment. Every Wednesday at this time, we open the phone lines and the email box and clear out the guest chair and give you a chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. Our topics this time around are drought avoidance behavior and what you think of tuition-free public higher education. Call us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number is 541-552-6782. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Yes, we're talking about the drought again, and we probably will several more times this year. The trigger for this round is a report in the San Jose Mercury News about California homes without water meters. The state legislature already passed a bill requiring water meters so water usage can be tracked. But that requirement does not go into effect until the year 2025. That brings us back to the basic question of how we should be behaving in a water year that features very little water for many of us. Should California, for example, speed up the water meter requirement? Should governments take the lead in drought moves? If not government, then what should we as individuals or groups of individuals be doing to forestall the drought? If your answer is very different, perhaps, you might be living in Eugene, for example, from the answer that you might give if you lived in Redding. Let's talk about what you would do differently, what you will be doing differently this year to take the drought into account. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. Our Rogue Valley number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Item two on this Vents Day is free tuition for higher education. Oregon is studying the possibility of a pay-it-forward system. Students would get tuition for free at state universities, but would have to agree to pay part of their post-education salaries, likely for many years, to pay the state back. This year's legislative session also took up the idea of free community college tuition for up to 2 years. There's no commitment yet, again, other than to study the possibility. So while the studies go on, let's talk it over. Just in general, is free tuition at either state four-year colleges or community colleges a good idea? Is it less of a good idea if it makes a major dent in the state budget? How about if the students actually do pay it back, even if it does take a long time? If you were the boss, how would you structure a system that lets students attend public college tuition-free now and potentially pay it back later? Let's hear your thoughts on Vents Day. 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Back with your comments in 1 minute. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. It's 8:36. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. This is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics on the news. Our topics on this Vents Day, what you'll be doing to take into account the drought. What kinds of behaviors will you be doing this year that you might not have done in a wetter year, either as individuals or as governments? How should we be approaching the drought? Let's get your thoughts on that. Let's also get your thoughts on the idea of providing public higher education for free. The state of Oregon is considering perhaps a pay-it-forward system where you get no tuition at state public colleges now and then pay it back through your salary, potentially for 20 years down the road, or free community colleges. Either state is game for this one, but it's being studied in Oregon right now. Let's get your thoughts about tuition-free public higher education and drought avoidance behaviors on this Vents Day. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. First contact is an email from Deb in Talent. She writes, wouldn't this be a good summer to ask people not to use irrigation water for lawns so there's more for agriculture? That is a point that's been brought up in the past. One of the issues that finally led to the removal of Savage Rapids Dam from the Rogue River a few years ago was the issue that a lot of the water from the Grants Pass Irrigation District was being used for lawns and not for agriculture. If you are a lawn waterer, are you considering something else in this dry year? Granted, it has been drizzly this week, but probably won't last forever. Let's get your thoughts on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's talk to John and Eugene. Welcome to the Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi, I'm a non-lawn waterer.
Good.
But I was going to mention something about agriculture, because fruit crops and some of the perennial things kind of have to get their water this year, or they'll disappear completely. You have to be able to water your trees. If this year you would eat less beef, nothing against beef or other meat producers, because it takes a lot of water to raise a cow, but you would save water by not eating the meat, that you can let your herd go way down during a time of less water, and then when water comes back, we can rebuild the herd, but you can't rebuild your pear orchard if it dies because there was no water. So eat less meat would be my thought.
Interesting thought, because yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, I know. Do you have any figures at your fingertips about how many gallons of water it takes to get a pound of beef? I've seen some of these about the pounds of food and the
right.
And
it's
the gallons
it's
of
a
water.
Lot. Is it all is. I remember, but it is something that you could do now, and then it could come back. It's not like it'll disappear. It'll just be a temporary measure.
All right. So help out an orchardist. Save the skip the beef this year.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Drought avoidance behavior and tuition-free public higher education, our topics.
Hi. Thanks a lot for having my time. I think the whole problem in the United States is we're addicted to the big money and big business in higher education. Obviously, it's proved it after the bubble. No, all these professionals, you know, they owe $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in debt from the college, and they don't have a job and they're on welfare or whatever. Services and believe it or not, jobs are coming back to the United States, manufacturing jobs, even though people seem to still want to buy everything from Walmart and everything in China. But China's starting to want all the products they're making for themselves, so it's better to manufacture here. But there's nobody here in the United States that fills these manufacturing jobs, because we've gotten completely away with higher education from apprenticeship programs. In Germany, you go to school in Germany. In high school, you can decide if you want to be an apprentice, and you do part of your apprenticeship in high school, and maybe 2 or 3 years after that, you're making $70,000 to $150,000 a year as a journeyman. And in the VW plant, as soon as they become an apprentice, apprenticeship program, and after they do their apprenticeship, they're making $70,000 after 2 or 3 years out of high school. And the apprenticeship programs are in the high school, or they travel to an apprenticeship training program where the unions operate them.
Are these the apprenticeships in the trades like electrician and plumber, that sort of thing?
Everything. Every job in the United States should have some form of apprenticeship. That's what we used to do. Mm-hmm. Even doctors, you know. I mean, every job should have an on-job training program that you can start in high school, because college has proven it doesn't work. Sure, we need colleges, but you can have an apprenticeship with college combination.
So in that mix, then, no on the tuition-free higher education?
Yeah, don't do instead give them free college. I mean, they used to do it in California during the great years. It worked there, but they also had great apprenticeship, and we had great manufacturing jobs, but we don't have that now. So we got to put that money, you're talking about free education, put it into apprenticeship programs where people can be learning a job, and if they do get enough time on the job and they get their education at the same time, every 6 months they get a raise. And then after so many years, they turn out, they get full, you know, they're journeymen to make the top dollars.
What about if you get into a program and decide you don't want to be an apprentice in this trade, you want to change? How easy is it to change under that system?
Just go into another program.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. You know, as long as you qualify. I mean, they're going to have to qualify. That's why it's so good to start them in high school. So in high school, they can be taking all the math courses, the science, you know, the courses, the type of courses that are important to that type of trade.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Bill. Very much appreciated. Apprenticeships comes through loud and clear on that one. This is our Vents Day segment on the Jefferson Exchange. We're asking for your polite venting on these topics, whether tuition-free higher education is something you would support, especially if it costs some money out of the state budget in your state, and what you think we should be doing either as individuals or as communities or as governments to help out the situation with the pending drought, since even though it's raining this week, it's not going to continue for much longer. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Jerry in Springfield. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. The proposed program, as I understand it, is a loan deferment, and I don't understand how that can be called free. To look at it in a bit more cynical way, I think it is another way of promoting indentured servitude. It's something to be paid down the road. Nobody's getting through that door with no one making a profit on it, and the student is going to pay down the road. That's really, I agree completely with the previous caller about apprenticeships, and I think we need an open-door policy in higher education, and we need to find another way to pay for that.
Open door policy in what sense?
Anyone can go at any GPA level. If you want to go to college, you go to the one that is provided.
All right. Thanks for that, Jerry. Appreciate it. Appreciate the thoughts. Let us take another call from Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Drought avoidance behavior and tuition-free, or at least tuition-deferred, higher education for the public. Our topics.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jeffrey, and thank the station for hosting such a wonderful program. I'm riled about both of these, actually. You know, we're talking about drought avoidance. We have reservoirs that are emptying and not being filled. We have Mount Ashland never open. Nobody can go skiing. We have the danger of enormous fires coming through. All of these are things that we're doing to ourselves because we are putting fossil fuels from the ground, which was stored there for millions of years, into the air suddenly, and it's heating everything up and ruining everything. We're going to have coal floating down our river to be exported to other countries. We're going to have natural gas pipeline cutting across our Rogue River and other places in order to feed other countries with this addiction that is killing us. The climate scientists are telling us, and these are people who are thousands of people who spend their lifetime understanding this, and they should not be dismissed by wackos who come up with other ideas, but they're telling us that everything that is, places that are hot and dry are going to get hotter and drier, like our Southwest. Places that are already wet are going to get wetter, like the eastern half of the country, and more so in other countries. So, you know, this is an enormous situation that we need to address, and it takes us. We're the incarnate ones. We are the ones that are alive with democracy now, and we're allowing these corporations and our habits to create a disastrous situation for us and for the next 50 or 100 years, even if we stop right now.
Hey, careful with the use of the word wackos, because you're going to make us sound like AM radio. Oh, wait, we are AM radio mostly. But go
ahead.
You
are radio. But you're a good radio, AM radio. I recently took a drive and had to listen to what else is out there. Oh, my God. So they want to save Mount Ashland? Well, I say, yeah, let's save Mount Ashland by having snow on it. And we can do a part. We're part of the problem, and we can be part of the solution, and our area can model a solution that other areas can copy, and we can collectively, gradually reduce our fossil fuel use in this world and change that habit. I'm a member of SOCAN, S-O-C-A-N, Southern Oregon Climate Action Now. Can be found at socan.info. There's another group out there, it's a good group called Rogue Climate, that are working on these. I encourage people to learn about this situation and then to start not just adjusting their personal behaviors, but to speak out politically and to urge our legislators to get real about this, especially Republicans who should be conservatives conserving what is important to us, and instead they join in with this other set of thought, which is ridiculous.
All right.
So anyway, that's one thing. Now let me do on the MOOC real fast.
Okay.
I recently took a MOOC or an online course.
Massive open online course, MOOC, yeah.
Yeah, right. And both of them were free, and both of them were high quality. One was Jazz Improvisation out of Berklee School of Music with Gary Burton. Another was the World Bank a version of a climate action, climate change education. And it was free. And even though many, many thousands of people from all over the world signed up for these things, and many of them drop out, as I did, because it became overwhelming. Many, many more also graduate. A lot of people get the knowledge that they are due. Knowledge shouldn't be privatized. It should be humanities. And our education system should facilitate the transfer of knowledge quickly from early school on up through upper levels, as efficiently and cheaply as possible. So I have great hope for the MOOCs to do that. I'm having a good friend of mine, a brilliant guy at SOU, is being dropped. His career is in question, and they have these overpaid administrators that the system has to change. And I'm hoping that some sort of hybrid that makes use of the MOOCs or the online courses can come into place.
You mentioned
Sure,
Brad, hang on a second, because you mentioned the MOOCs that you followed were free, but at some point you have to pay to get a degree off those MOOCs if you're going to go that way, if you're on a current degree track?
It was not a big deal. They were absolutely free to everyone that wants to take them. Then if you want to get a credential as part of your educational regimen, you know, you want to build up your credentials, you can pay $35 to have a certificate as part of the course. In my situation, that's what they offered to those courses.
All right. Thanks for sharing your experience, Brad, and good job on the venting on Vents Day. Take it easy. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Our topics, drought avoidance behavior and what you think about tuition-free or at least tuition-deferred public higher education, which is under great discussion in Oregon right now. Let's get your thoughts on these. Vent on Vents Day, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Patricia Ann in Eureka sent in an email about drought avoidance behavior. She suggests we look up the Humanure Handbook by Joseph Jenkins, as in manure and humans. Humanure Handbook by Joseph Jenkins. She says human waste should not require water to dispose, which then gets the rest of us thinking, well, the things that we take for granted in terms of water usage, what could we change if we're really serious about trying to limit our impact on water storage and water usage in this drought? Let's get your thoughts on this. Again, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Dennis and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah, I'll make a little comment on both subjects. First, I'll comment on the environment thing. The environmentalist message is not getting through. It's not working.
About climate change, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's whatever they think they're trying to accomplish with their message, it's a failure, and they need to regroup and treat, because they're not convincing anybody that doesn't believe that it's happening, or people who do believe that it's happening are apathetic. So the environmental message is a failure, and they need to regroup and come up with a new idea. As far as the education thing goes, it's not like the previous caller said, it's not free education, it's just deferred payment of the education.
Yeah, yeah, pay later.
And I think that the last caller is right about internet education. I mean, I can't tell you all the interesting things I've learned off of YouTube. I mean, just lots of stuff that I would have never known about. And as far as how education should be funded, I think it should be funded by companies, because I think that it's in the companies of our country's interest to have a well-educated
workforce.
Populace.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that Boeing, let's just use that as an example, they hire people every year. They should have either scholarships or something that they do through a community college or work up a situation on the internet, and people could apply for that, and then the people that pass the course would be eligible to go to work for Boeing.
But then does the company not control the educational system that way? I mean, if they got the bucks into the system, then aren't they going to make greater demands on what kinds of things get taught in that system?
Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, there's two kinds of education, right? There's kinds of education where you go to learn something so you can get a job and get paid, either more or whatever. And then there's the kind of education like I do that just for my own personal gratification and my own knowledge. And so if you're going to Boeing's website to learn about Boeing's new job opportunities and what you can apply for so you can get a job there, and it's going through the community college, that's one set of... It should be totally controlled by Boeing then. But if you're just going to have, you know, say I wanted to learn about how to, I don't know, shear sheep or something, you know, why should Boeing pay for that?
Right.
They shouldn't. You know, that's on me. But I just... The idea that it's free is nutty.
All right. Well, there are actually two little developments out there. There is the idea of the pay it forward idea, where you take the college now and then you pay for it through your salary years down the road. The other topic is the discussion that came up in this year's legislative session in Oregon, which is free community college. Both of those are being studied. There's nothing that actually says it's going to happen in either case, but that's where we're standing, and that's what we're asking for input on this Vents Day segment, the idea of tuition-free or tuition-deferred public higher education. And the other one is drought avoidance behavior. What kinds of things should we be doing as individuals or communities to ease the use of water in this year? Let's get your thoughts at 800 888-538-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Skeeter in Eugene. Welcome back to The Exchange on Vince Day.
Hiya. A couple of things on the water. I think a lot of water is wasted with our sewage system, so I would suggest, as another caller also suggested, that we really think about using composting toilets. They work. They are legal in other countries. It can really save a lot of water. Also, let's stop fracking. I don't know if fracking is going on in California or Oregon or Washington, but hey, let's knock it off. That wastes a whole lot of water, and it really pollutes it, and it very well could cause earthquakes. I also think we ought to try to use water catchment systems, that every household ought to have a big water tank so that they can irrigate their land. Occasionally, when the rain does fall, let's catch it and save it. Also, let's start planting trees wherever possible. And in regard to education, I hope that every person, once they get out of high school, takes 1 or 2 years to kick around a bit, think about who they are, what they want to do with their lives. Is college really appropriate, or maybe a trade school? I am totally in favor of the apprentice idea, apprenticeships, and I think Dennis has a good idea with corporations perhaps helping to fund those apprenticeships programs. Might be a really good idea. And thank you so much for your program.
And thanks for calling in, Skeeter. Appreciate it. Let's go to Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Good morning. When there was a drought in California many years ago, I was talking to a man recently from Marin County who said that at that time they were showering, you know, taking GI showers. You get wet, you soap up, you rinse off. And they also had a bucket in the shower with them to water their gardens. That's how, you know, they were...
Oh, really? So they just showered with the bucket there. Okay, and whatever came out of the bucket, they threw in the garden.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah, or, you know, house plants, whatever. Personally, I don't have any house plants.
But,
you know, the thing that I would really like to see happen is there be a big push for an environmentally sound method of desalinization.
To take water from the ocean and take the salt out of it and turn that into
drinking
water.
Exactly, because there's... a lot of it there. There's also lots of water in groundwater that's brackish that can't be used because it's brackish. And so if you were to find a good way to environmentally sound way to remove the salt from that water, it would be great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could use water that is currently unusable.
All right, Mark, thanks for that. Appreciate it. And, you know, and you can see that the discussions of drought avoidance techniques work on two fronts. One is, where do we get more water? Number two is, how do we save water along the way? The issue that Skeeter brought up, if you look, most toilets now have an indication on them, how many gallons per flush. GPF is on there. And even the newer ones tend to get 1.6 gallons per flush, somewhere in that neighborhood. So you're using a gallon and a half of water just to flush the toilet, no matter what you're doing in the toilet. And we'll stop getting descriptive at that point. Let's take a call here from Donna in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Drought avoidance and tuition-free public higher ed are topics.
Thank you. I'm very nervous. I would like to address something developers may not like, at least some of them. But since I've been in California and Oregon, most houses and even business establishments, when you run water, you can't get it warm without running a lot, and especially if it's cold. So mm-hmm. I assume they do a better job of insulating pipes, but there's something about the way newer buildings are built, and at least houses for sure, that you have to run a lot of water, and some of us can't take washing our hands in cold water. I have to go to another room, and I know the simple solutions, but I think codes and regulations, whatever, have to be addressed.
That's a great point, Donna. So essentially you got to run the water for like a half a minute or so before the warm stuff actually comes out.
Yes, and there are systems in some of the older houses I've lived in. I guess it's circulating pumps or something like that. But I think the big responsibility is on builders or developers. I don't know how a green building addresses this.
But,
so that's just one, I think, relatively simple, but it'll be politically unpopular, I suppose, in at least some segments. The other thing is education in Montana. During the Depression, and I started college in 1946, tuition was free. This was not a rich state. It was a rural, pretty much
right.
Rural mining.
Okay.
And this was common, and this doesn't seem to be, and for a long time. And I'm not sure now. I think they've built in some sort of charges.
All right, but that's the system you'd like to see us return to. Donna, very much appreciate you calling us for the first time. Please call again. This has been Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you for your thoughts, and thank you for listening to the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio.